Yesterday, we had a conversation with a hacker, Rudy Dix. He is the technical director at the Cyber Academy. There were lots and lots of questions that followed the interview, and I asked him if he would be kind enough to come back on to the show and just have finished that conversation or have a little bit more of that conversation with us. Rudy did agree to do that, and I am very pleased to say good morning again, Rudy Dix, technical director at the Cyber Academy. Thank you for agreeing to speak to us again.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Okay. So can we just get right into examples of scams? What is it that our listeners should be, and we should be, looking out for?
So maybe there's two things we should look at. The first is a general one, and then the second one is something more relevant to what's happening today around COVID. One of the most popular and most effective general scams that we're seeing around social engineering is when an attacker will actually follow the CEO of a business around. They'll drive behind him, they'll track him, wait until he gets on a plane, on a boat, somewhere where he doesn't have cell phone signal. And once he's out of cell phone range, they'll phone the accounts department and say something like, "I've just had a fantastic meeting with your CEO at the airport. He agreed to buy a product for a couple of million rand. But the thing is, he squeezed me for a very good price. So it's got to get paid before end of business. Otherwise, it's not happening. Don't take my word for it. He's going to authorize it, but I'm just going to send you the invoice so long so that you can process it." You as the accounts person say, "Well, this is a little bit fishy. It's not how we normally do things, but there's no harm in loading it so long and waiting." So you process invoice, load it, and you wait for confirmation. Sure enough, 40 minutes later, an email comes in from your CEO. And it says, "Listen, I'm on an airplane. I've got internet access, but I can't speak to you. I know you've already spoken to the guy. Please release that payment."
Wow.
Everything's perfect. The signature's there. The address is correct. There's no typos. There's no misspelling. So you release the payment. And obviously, when the CEO gets back from his trip a week later, he'd never heard of these people and he didn't authorize the payment. By then, it's cleared the account. And this happens fairly often and to different extents. We also see fairly commonly that a CEO will send the CFO an email saying, "Listen, something wrong with my corporate card. Can you just send me a couple of thousand rand into my personal account for petty cash?"
Right.
And it was never him, and that money then is gone. And we investigate those very often. It's pretty common.
Carry on. Rather to finish with that, and then I'll ask you. Yeah.
On the other side, as I was saying, very relevant to Corona right now, what we're seeing is people getting SMSs, WhatsApps, emails saying, "You've been in contact with somebody that's been exposed. Please click on the link and register yourself." And from there, they harvest your credentials and log into all of your accounts because you've given them that password that you reuse on all the other websites.
Wow, that is very scary, because we do need, in order for COVID information to be successful, we do need people to be able to trust the system.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's not a failure of the system at all. These guys are not related at all. They're just making use of the – and I mean, it is such a hot topic right now in terms of privacy and the being allowed to track people through their cell phones and things like that, that it's top of everybody's minds. We all know that these systems are in place, and when you get this and somebody tells you you've been in contact with somebody else, obviously you're a little bit frightened. You want to look after yourself. So the attackers are pretty scrupulous or unscrupulous that they use this and get your credentials, or worse, get you to give them access to your infrastructure.
And generally what it does is it plays on our vulnerabilities, doesn't it? They seem to be pretty good at.
Yeah, the days of hackers being these nerds in a basement somewhere with no social skills are definitely behind us. The most effective people are very strong in terms of social engineering and manipulating other people. So it's very, very important to – it really, again, comes down to common sense, right? If something seems too good to be true, if it seems incorrect, if it's not the system that you've signed up for or know about, then it's really important not to interact with those things at all.
Very, very, very – it's very scary because – So how do we check, you know, if we get a message that says you've been in contact with somebody who is COVID positive, please enter your details, what should we do?
Well, you should definitely ignore that. These systems are very much opt-in at the moment, where you have to sign up provide your information and provide consent before that it will interact with you. It is a technical challenge that the government and or service providers like Apple and Google will have to solve to indicate to the average person that they can trust it, but definitely err on the side of caution. And if you weren't expecting it, and if you don't know what the source is, you definitely don't want to interact with it at all. Even just clicking on the link, whether you provide credentials or not, could in certain instances lead to compromise. So this is all about education, right? It's all about educating yourself, understanding what these things are about, so that when they happen, you can identify them, you know what's happening, you know what the attackers are trying to do, and you don't fall for the scam and become another victim.
And the purpose of a hack is generally for financial gain.
Yeah, mostly, especially on the top end, the guys will go after the money. I mean, that's why people used to rob banks. That's why they hack now. It's where the money is. It's what they try to do. But as the larger corporates, like the banks, like the financial institutions, spend more and more time and energy becoming secure, protecting their staff and their systems, the attackers have no choice but to trickle down onto the next tier and the tier below that, to try and get their money. So we're starting to see a trend where people are moving away, or the attackers are moving away from the large corporates who are spending millions securing themselves, and focusing on the companies one step down from that maybe aren't as attentive about this.
Yeah, it's quite frightening. How educated should a regular person be? I mean, I know in corporates we've spoken about it, that it's obviously critical that there becomes a corporate culture around being aware. Oh, sorry, I'll come back to one of the questions somebody asked yesterday. The individual, how aware do they need to be? How educated do they need to be around this?
So my view on this is that this problem is not going to go away. We're all going to deal with this issue for the rest of our lives. As we move all of our banking onto the internet, as we transfer our money on the internet, a lot of the attacks are going to move online. Why would a bad guy get a balaclava and a shotgun and try to rob a bank or a cash and transit van at risk to their lives when they can sit in their PJs at home and steal way more money almost completely safely? So this problem is going to be with you for the rest of your life. It's definitely an investment, in my view, to spend some time just educating yourself and teaching yourself about what the risks are, how they work, and how you can identify them.
A question from yesterday, after we had finished speaking, was, does the antivirus software help against the sort of?
Yes and no. So it's very important to understand that antivirus is very effective. It's a very important part of your defense. It's critical. Everybody should have antivirus. You really don't have a choice. If you're using a Windows machine, you have an antivirus built in by default now. That's actually not too bad. But it does not stop the best attackers. When you get to a certain level of sophistication, the attackers are able to write viruses that the antivirus cannot pick up or detect. Without going into too much technical detail, they can bypass those systems and still gain access. So it's not a silver bullet. It doesn't fix all your problems, but it will catch 99.x% of all the generalist attacks. So definitely something you need to have. Just don't think it's going to solve all your problems.
And Brian wants to know, what about the links that friends forward each other?
So the bigger problem generally there for you is in these forward chains, where your email address becomes part of the chain, and eventually one of the attackers or just people who are trying to add you to a mailing list will see this list of email addresses and add you to that list, and that's when you start getting spam. That's really the risk there. Unless, unfortunately, your friends start forwarding around malicious links. Again, if it's a trusted source, we can't live in perpetual fear. We can't not click on anything or interact with anything. So if it's somebody you know, if it's somebody you trust and you're sure it's them, the risks are relatively low. It's probably just something funny or amusing. Don't overdo the security stuff, but
right,
from complete strangers for no good reason.
Yeah.
Don't click on things.
Absolutely. All right. Rudy Dix, thank you as always. Can you just give us the information around the Cyber Academy again, for anybody who's interested in attending, any of these courses, which certainly sounds very much worthwhile.
So I think the easiest place to find us is to go onto the internet and go to thecyberacademy.co.za, or just type in the Cyber Academy into Google and it will send you to the correct address.
Absolutely fantastic. Rudy Dix, thank you for taking the time to speak to us. Again, thank you for coming back on.